Thank you for the special music. Very nice. For the past several months now, the church has been and is still going through tests and trials. We have seen many of our brethren departing from the presence of our congregations and going in different directions. It has and still is a time of hurt and disappointment. And I think I can speak for all of us when I say this. I can say that it hurts deeply. It hurts with a lot of suffering and a lot of pain, with a lot of tests that comes up in our life that this has caused, because I have seen families split apart because of this. I have seen mothers and children going in different directions. Mothers and fathers, children going in different directions. Why is this? Why has this happened? Well, God has a purpose for all of us. As I read in the statement from Mr. Mills, it's a time of testing. And how did we do on our test? I don't know. I know how I did, but I don't know how you did. I think that's a question for each one of us to answer today. And I thought when Mr. Martin Brown was giving his sermonette, how many people need to hear what he's saying. I wished I could just take his sermonette and, you know, flinging out in the air and let all these people that has walked away listen to that. Meditate on it. Brethren, it's a disappointment to all of us because these people that walked away were people that we worked with for years, that we loved, people that we had confidence in, people that we rejoiced being around, fellowshipping. The hurt is there. But you know what? This has caused us to draw closer to God as we seek with heart-rendering prayers for God to strengthen us in times that we are in the times that we're going through. So what is it that God wants us to do? We've come this far with this situation, but what is it that God wants us to do now? Well, the answer is simple. God wants us to set aside, not forget, I'm not saying forget, but I'm going to say that set aside the hurt and confusion that we have been going through and move forward. I said, and I say this from Scripture, to set aside the hurt and confusion, because God is not, I'll repeat this, and you can place the sentence wherever you wish, but God is not the author of confusion. He is the author of peace and joy. So what is it then that God wants us to do? I said the answer is simple. Because there is much work to be done, God is waiting for us to stand up, lace up our bootstraps, and move forward. Because if we stay in the grieving category too long, we will become stagnated. God has work for us to do. So He wants us to stand up. Be counted. He knows who we are. And move forward. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 57 through 58. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abiding in the work of the Lord, and knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So you may say, well, we came all this way, and now look what's happened. But I said before, it's for a purpose. God allowed this to happen for a purpose. Mr. Armstrong used to make statements about shaking the tree. Those fell off and those that hung on. And I've been saying for a long time, and I can't remember the title of my sermon because it's been a long time, but I remember some of the things I said. And one of the things I said was to be well grounded in the faith. And I said, if you are not, I said, it'll be a period of time. And I'm not a prophet, I'm just saying what I said in the sermon. Because I was giving the sermon at that time. But I did say, if you're not grounded, well grounded in the faith, I said, there'll be a time that'll come by and a situation will take you out of the church of God. So the time is here, brethren. That time has come. But God wants us to go forward. In verse 58, Paul is showing that the mindset we should have is saying here, to go forward. Hold on. Let us keep on doing the work of God. This is not a time to lose faith. We are urged to continue our dedication to excelling in God's work. It is a time to remain constant and steadfast in the faith. So the title of the sermon then, it's time to move forward. Please turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 through 10. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith. So when we were called out of this world and given God's Holy Spirit, we were placed in an army of God as a soldier of Jesus Christ. And we see this as we look at further into the Scriptures, as Paul was admonishing Timothy. Please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 3 and 4. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So just looking at this one verse tells us that since we have joined, since God has placed us in the army of God, we were going to have, we have had, and we were going to have, and we will have some more, brethren, trials and tests. I can tell you that this is not the end. This part will go away because we must move on with the work of God. But it won't be smooth sailing till Christ comes back. I don't know what's coming up next, and neither do you. It may not be this type of trial anymore. It may be something different. But the point of the matter is, God's going to test us continually. He's going to purify us. He's going to refine us to where we can we can be the person He wants in His kingdom. So, brethren, we're placed in the army as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse 4. "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." So when we are called out, no soldier in the army of God, when he's on active duty, should entangle himself in the world affairs. This is not the thing we should do. But we should be separate from the world and the things of this world, but rather he lays aside such things, so by doing and giving good service, he may please one who has called him into the spiritual army, and that's God. You know, we should always do everything possible that we can, brother, to please God. Why don't we want to keep God happy? He sustains us. This should be one of the things that we would seek to do on a daily basis. Apostle Paul took the opportunity to apply this picture of a soldier to the Christian life. So clearly, Paul saw the life of a soldier and dedicated this to the Christian way of life. So in doing so, he gives us five important points to consider as a soldier. And point number one, a soldier's service must be a concentrated service. Once a soldier has been called into the service, they must not be engaged in world affairs, but be totally engaged in the Christian way of life. Number two, soldiers that are called are conditioned to obedience. I want to say that again. Soldiers that are called are conditioned to obedience. Now, we are trained, brethren, to be obedient to God. The early training of a soldier is designed to cause them to obey unquestionably the word of command. By doing so, they could save their life and the lives of others. When I was going through boot camp in the service, we had live ammunition that was fired over our heads. Barbed wire strings, of course. But we went through about 3 or 4 days of training, telling the soldier, when you're crawling, you don't stand up. You don't raise your head above these barbed wire that's over you, because there's live ammo up there. So that was dangerous. It was sudden death if that would happen. But what it was, what the commander was doing then was training us so when we went into combat, if that ever happened, we could sustain ourselves, not just jump up and run when machine guns is firing all over our head, but crawl, stay in a low profile. This would not only protect us, but those that are around us. So this is what Paul is saying here. To unquestionably don't question, you know, the command that is given to you. There are in a sense in which it is no part of the soldier to know the reason why. I mean, if you're obedient, why would you want to ask why? You know, sometimes we want to question God. God tells us to do something, we want to say why. He's in control. And we cannot see the overall picture. I want to phrase this as a commander in chief of an army, and he tells his soldiers to do this or that, and he's out in the field in combat, he can see the overall picture. It's not up to the soldiers on the ground to question why you told me to do this. I want you to do it because it's going to save your life. So God tells us these things so that we can make the decision to always obey the commander-in-chief. And God, Jesus Christ, is the commander-in-chief. So we have the instructions, brethren, that's given to us in this book, our instruction manual. So when we read this book, it instructs us to exactly what we should be doing. So we should not question when we are asked to do something. Point number three. The soldier that is called into service of God is conditioned to service. He is conditioned to sacrifice. So at some point in time, you know, we may be asked to sacrifice to do something. It may not be a congregation collectively, but it could be individually. You may be asked to do something. So you're called to sacrifice. Christians must always be ready to sacrifice for God and for others. Number four, there will be training. The soldiers of the train realize they must move forward. The victory is ahead and not behind. You know, you can see newsreels. I mean, about the news of the soldiers in combat, they're always advancing. They're not running backwards. What's back there? You just left that place. I mean, move forward. The supreme virtue of all soldiers is that they are trained to do what they have been asked to do. They do this because we as soldiers, brethren, must defeat the enemy. And I don't have to tell you who the enemy is. Mr. Armstrong always said that the enemy is within. It's always coming from within. It's not the ones outside all the time. So to defeat the enemy then, brethren, we must move forward. Number five. Those that are called as soldiers are conditioned to loyalty. The supreme virtue of a soldier is that they are faithful even to death. You know, we have to appreciate our military. Though God doesn't condone fighting, killing, but we must appreciate the many of our soldiers that has given their life that we may have the freedom to come here sit in this very hall with each other. It could not. It could be that we couldn't have this freedom. But a lot of those have given their life. So the soldier that is called out into God's army must be faithful even to death. They must be loyal to Christ all the way up to the end. So God is always working to take His people forward to a greater relationship with Him, to meet and accept the challenges that is ahead for all of us. We must never be satisfied with the past or believe that what we are doing in the present is all we can do or should do. We won't grow, brethren, if we are satisfied with ourselves. Day after day, we must be meditating and thinking on things that I can do to please God. Things that I can do differently to grow spiritually in some way. And if we don't know what those things are, then we can ask God to show us what they are. And He will, simply because He wants you in His kingdom. To achieve all the things that God will give us, He will give us the opportunity to do that. We must move forward to meet the challenge. And to move forward means to be ready to face and accept the challenges that will come our way. Therefore, brethren, we must stay focused on God's kingdom, never giving up, never turning back, always moving forward. Apostle Paul was one who believed in moving forward. Please turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 11 through 14. So if by any means I may attain the attained to the resurrection from the dead. Now that I have already, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold on that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ, or in Christ Jesus. So we know nothing that is more important in the Christian life than to press forward toward the kingdom of God. Paul makes it very clear that he has not yet gained possession or laid hold on all that he seeks to be, but would continue to press forward, forgetting those things which were behind, and continue reaching for the things which are ahead. The past is the past, and we cannot undo the past, but we can prepare ourselves for the future. God wants us in His church to move forward toward the kingdom of God. Well, let's notice what Christ said in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. We'll read verses 59 through 62. Luke chapter 9. Then he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." So one point here to consider in this verse, the call of God to go forward for this person was not important enough for him to drop everything and just go as he was asked, but he wanted to take care of the physical matters, burying his dead. But God is saying to us, you know, to go forward. We must not go back to do the things that we didn't do before. Start there and go forward. In verse 61, and another said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. So there, again, another calling. And the gentleman thought, well, I need to go back home and tell all my kindred, all those that surround my house, goodbye. So although the man had agreed to follow Christ, but for now, he needs to return to his household and bid those farewell. But notice what Christ said to the man. In verse 62, Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, why did Christ say that to the man? It's a lot to learn from that one verse. Notice an important point here in verse 62 that Christ is making using the analogy of a plowman, showing that we must look forward and not back. We could call and ask ourselves this question, can a plowman plow a straight line looking back? Have we ever seen a farmer plow in his field backwards? I don't think we have. You know, if he did this to complete the mission of plowing that field would be in turmoil. No plowman ever plowed a straight furrow looking back or looking over his shoulder. His focus must be moving forward. And when we look back, brethren, we lose our focus and we cease to move forward. Moving forward requires us to let go of all the hurts. Didn't say that forget them, but we said let go. The hurts and disappointments, and put those things ahead of us and move forward toward the kingdom of God. And some people don't move forward very well because they won't let go of the past, but rather continue to look back on things that happened in the past, and this is the trap. This is the trap, brethren, that Lot's wife fell into when she continued to go forward, but then she stopped and looked back. In the story we have read many times in Genesis 19, she heard the word of God. She believed the word and even obeyed the word of God to a certain point, but she wouldn't let go of the past. Looking back caused her to see what she once had in Sodom rather than what she was in possession of. Looking back caused her to see what she was losing rather than what she would gain. Lot's wife was holding on to the past, but this is not what God tells us to do. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, he said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So we don't have to. We don't have to think, well, I need to hold on to something that is back there because I've got to survive and on and on and on. No, God said, let go of those things, seek the kingdom of God and all the things that you need. I will supply for you if your heart is in the right way of seeking the kingdom of God. I'll take care of you. So it's not a matter, brethren, if we are in a warfare, which we will always be, fighting Satan, but God will deliver you because He will take care of you because you are seeking His kingdom. He just said this in the Scripture. So seeking the kingdom of God involves a continued hunger and thirst after righteousness. And we, as we move forward seeking the kingdom of God, we have a spiritual chain reaction that will occur. We become more and more inspired in the work of God, intensifying our Bible study, purifying our lives, dominating our whole being, giving us the spiritual strength to press forward. You know, Apostle Paul made it very clear, as I said before in Philippians 3, that he has not yet gained possession of or laid hold on that all that he seeks to be, showing that he wants to move forward. He wants to do better today than he did yesterday. And this should be our attitude, brethren. We must move forward to the kingdom of God at all costs. As we move forward to the kingdom of God, there are three important things that we must always remember to do as the church moves forward. First, we must accept the challenge through God's Holy Spirit to always look to Jesus Christ as the head of the church. As we follow Him, He is the head of the church, always seeking from Him guidance and directions in the things that He wants us to do. We must stay focused in doing the will of God. Secondly, we must accept the challenge to go to follow God's Word. The Bible must be the foundation of what we believe and practice. And when we see people that don't follow what's written in this book, they have gotten off base, they've gotten off somewhere. They didn't follow what's in here. But the results of not following this, as you can see, brings forth hurt, brings forth division. Hurt is hard to get over. It don't go away very fast. But God can give us relief. We must be a people that are well rooted in the Word of God. The Bible is our road map to moving forward and being well rooted in the Word of God. Jeremiah gives us a beautiful analogy of being well rooted. Please turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Verse 8. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but her leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So as we take a closer look at this analogy here, we can see that spiritual analogy here of the tree is being rooted then in the Word of God. So the root system of a tree serves to guarantee existence of that whole tree. And I've seen people that did not want certain trees in their yard, they would take an axe and cut the roots. It goes up to the trunk of the tree eventually that tree would die. So the root system is important in the survival of the tree. So the analogy here, brethren, is being well rooted in the Word of God, because the root system of the tree will guarantee the existence of that tree. So without the root system, as I said, the tree will die. One of the function of a root system is to anchor and stabilize the tree, as the roots provide stability. It also brings in nurture the tree. So a tree would not survive a windstorm without a root system. It springs out. It grabs hold. So when the storm comes by, it withstands. Brethren, we have to look in this way through our spiritual life. Stay well rooted in the system. Nurtured in the faith. When the storms come by, you will survive. Some people wasn't well rooted. Some people just walked away because somebody else went away. They decided, I'll go with you. No information, no facts. I'll just go with you. The majority is going, so I'll go too. And finally, the task of a root system is to store up food for later use in the growth of the tree. So, we read earlier that the leaf on that tree would stay green in a time of drought. It's because the root system had stored up the necessary nutrients that would sustain that tree in a time of drought. I don't have the information with me, but I did research one time the root system, and I found, to my amazement, the thousands and thousands of little tiny roots that comes out from the main roots that springs through the ground, and you can only see them with a magnifying glass. But scientists have found this. All the little the nurturing that goes on in the soil, all those tiny roots. Apparently, they may bring up something that the main root system doesn't bring up. I don't know. It may be that the little tiny ones bring it to the main, and the main takes it to the trunk of the tree. I don't know how that works, but I'm just saying, to my amazement, I had no idea. And it showed me the wonderful, wonderful God that we serve. I don't know how many trillions of years in our life, if we could put it in that term, that God thought about the creation before He did. I don't know. But it's magnificent. Of all the things that is out there, that, you know, we just don't have the knowledge of all what God has created. But it makes me know that He is the God of all gods, and as the Scripture says, there is no other. So yes, I'll follow Him. I'll follow God. I'm not going to follow no man. I'm going to follow God. Thirdly, to move forward, we must dedicate ourselves to God. Now, Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But we're not wise enough to make our decisions. God needs to make our decision for us. We don't have the wisdom to do that. We may not agree with that statement, but I'm saying, brethren, If you don't trust God to guide and direct you in all your ways, that's what the Scripture says, lean not into your own understanding. You can't see the future, God can. So if you made a decision to do something, it may hurt you badly. It may cause your life down the road if that decision is not right. That's why we must pray daily. We shouldn't let a day go by. You shouldn't even think about starting your day without asking God for guidance. We don't know what's out there. But when we get on our knees and pray to God, we know that at the end of our prayer, God has heard us and God will lead and guide us through that day. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. That's just what I finished saying. In all your ways, not part, but all your ways. The kind of dedication sets people free from their past. Past failures, past mistakes become a faint memory when we focus on our future with God and His kingdom. And the remarkable thing about all of this, brethren, we have a choice every day of our life regarding every day of our life to have control by the Holy Spirit to guide our attitudes and the things that we embrace for that day. We cannot change the past, but we can move forward to the future. I quote from a statement by Charles Swindell when he said, I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. That's a statement that we all can think about. Because having the ability to forgive others and ourselves become a reality for a man or the woman who has dedicated their life to the purpose and plans of God, because God has them in His care. And if we follow God with this type of attitude of forgiving and loving one another, we will be receiving not only the forgiveness of God, but our attitude will flow as easily from us as it does from God. We will have that attitude of love and forgiveness. Why? Because God desires to have us in His kingdom. His ways and His thoughts. Now purify our thoughts. This is the fruit, brethren, of a dedicated Christian. God said, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. We find this in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. This is God's word for you and me, brethren. He wants us to become His children in His kingdom. He wants us to experience peace and happiness. He desires to keep us from evil. He wants to give us a future with Him to move forward toward the kingdom of God. And as we move forward toward the kingdom of God, there are some requirements that we must do over and above what I have mentioned. One of the requirements is, brethren, that we always be on guard of Satan. I'll say this over and over again because I think about Satan a lot because I'm always trying to, I can't, I can't express the words here, but I'm trying to find out within myself his deceptive roles that he plays and how he could use them, how he does use them on people. So deceptive. And that's why, Revelation 12:9 says that he has deceived the whole world. Cunning. Just easing in with. You have to have God's Spirit and ask for God's guidance to even recognize some of the things that He brings in trying to bring deception to people. And He's very, very cunning. But there are requirements, brethren, that we must keep in mind. One of the requirements is, brethren, we must be productive. If we're going to move forward, we must be productive. Maybe we haven't thought about this a lot, even at all, but God has a requirement for those whom He has called to be productive. God expects us to be productive and get results. The Bible main metaphor on this accomplishment is to produce fruits. And Galatians 5, we've read that many times. The fruits of the Spirit there. And let's notice John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Because God wants us to continue. And if we move forward, we will continue to grow and bear fruit until the end of our lives. John chapter 15, verse 5 through 8. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So that goes to forward to what I said before. We can't do anything. We're helpless. We must depend. This is why our prayers are so important, that we pray for God to lead and guide us, because He said, without Him, you can do nothing. And verse 6 says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and I shall, and it shall be done for you. By this, verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So abiding in Christ means we will stay in constant contact with Him. And, we've read many times, and it's a point worth noting, that during the time that Christ was here on earth, we could see different scriptures where it would speak of Christ withdrawing in a secluded place to talk to the Father. So He kept in touch with the Father right up until His last breath. He kept in touch with the Father because He knew, first of all, that His Father would deliver him, and secondly, that He would guide and direct him in everything that he wanted to do. So we must do the same thing, brethren. We must note that there are two things we must bear in mind here in these verses to be a good disciple. A good disciple, then, they are fruitful branches. A good disciple is a fruitful branch. Always bearing fruit. They bring glory to God by the fruit that they bear. And I said before, we should always try with everything that we can, with all of our beings, to please God. Make God happy. He suffers too. The greatest glory of a Christian life is that our life and conduct can bring glory to God. Psalm 1. In Psalm 1, verse 1 through 3, Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Stays in the Scriptures, reading the Scriptures. And it says in verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. See, only God's with us, brethren. Christ used the parable of the fig tree, emphasizing that spiritually speaking, a fruitless tree is worthless. Let's look at this in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Verses 6 through 9. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this tree and found none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if it's not, after that, you can cut it down. So this parable shows us that God is looking for us to produce fruit. But also notice another point. He's having patience with us. He's not going to continue hoping us. He gives us a chance. Because he told the vineyard keeper here, you know, let me dig around this a little bit, try to fertilize it, give it some nutrients. Maybe next year when you come by, you'll have fruit on it. But let's not cut it down right now. So it says to us, God gives us a chance. God gives us a chance. As we look deeper into the teachings of this verse, we see that what it's truly saying is saying to all of us in this parable to do all that we possibly can to bear fruit. Brethren, we have to continue going forward. We have to continue to fight. We can never give up. At the conclusion of this sermon, I want to read a short statement from one of the leaders of our country. Well, leaders of the country at that time. Sir Winston Churchill. Simply because he never gave up. He was a fighter, and he rallied the whole nation to hang in there, to do your best. And I don't know what religious connections that the man had, but it seems like that he trusted in God from the things that he said. So I'll conclude the sermon this evening by reading from the William J. Bennett, the Book of Virtues. And it's a short statement here from Sir Winston Churchill, because in 1940 he addressed the Parliament about the war, of course. And he was given a statement of the conditions of the war. But he also let them know that, you know, he's going to stand firm. So this is what he said as he addressed Parliament. He said, we shall not flag or fail. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the sea and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight in the land, on the grounds. We shall fight in the fields, in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. Beyond these seas, he continues, then beyond these seas, armed and guarded by the British fleet, would carry on the strength until in God's good time, he put the phrase in there, in God's good time, the new world and all its power and mighty steps forth to the rescue and liberation of the old. I looked at this and I thought, no, this is God's church. We will fight to the end. We will not give up. We will continue on because God is going to liberate us. God is going to come back and liberate us from all the hurt and confusion that we have. But brethren, let's lay these things on the side. Let's stand up, lace up our boots, and let's go forward because God is with us and He will see us through. Keep the faith and continue to trust in God. Happy Sabbath.